country. And I know we cannot control very much, but we know the one who can. And so we need to start going to him. So we'll talk about this for the next whole month. And I'm so thankful that Brother Don's going to be bringing out some historical. I was going to, I've already got a lot of information. I was going to bring several things throughout the month before election about Christian history in America, and I'll still do that. And I feel like this is something that we need to be reminded of. But not only that, I want us to be praying and fasting and trusting the Lord to do something special. And we can do that. So we're going to rally around as a church. A couple of ladies came to me here in the last couple of weeks, and there was a big, great movement in America here recently. Actually, it just ended yesterday, and they had a time of prayer and had some wonderful people involved in that. And it convicted me. And so Brother Don come and spoke with me about this, and I just think it's great. So we want everybody to get involved in it. We'll have a sign-up sheet in the back. And this is just one of those things that you're going, like you said, to give up a meal and pray. And let's fast and pray and ask the Lord to do something special. Let me get my Bible here. And as all of you know, we've been going through the book of Revelation. We're in chapter 8. And if you would turn and open your Bible to the book of Revelation. We had a visitor, and by the way, we've been having visitors. We're thankful for that. And each one of you that are here tonight, we thank God for you. And we had a dear lady visit with us this morning. I had spoke with her on the phone. She's very serious about the church that she's going to attend. She's been calling and asking me questions. I'm thankful that she does. We have nothing to hide. I told her today, I said, well, what you see is what you get. But something she said, and I want to share this with you because I'm going to be honest with you, church, I've never thought of this. I don't know why I haven't, I just haven't. Maybe you have, but she reminded me of something today, and I'm telling you right now, it encouraged me. But she pulled up into the parking lot early today to watch our people walk in the church. She wanted to see how our people walked in the church building. You know what she told me? She said, as I watched the people come into this building, she said, I could tell they were eager and happy to get here. Never thought of that in my life. And she said, Pastor, I'm going to tell. I said, I've never. She said, well, I have. I said, I've never thought. She said, I have. Amen. And she said, that's not typical today. That's sad. So obviously she's done this quite a bit to watch, to see in the parking lot. And she said most people coming to church, she said they're just going out of duty. Thought that was something. So let me just say this. First of all, you never know. People are always watching. But that's not why we're living the way we live. But if we're dwelling in our home, if we're dwelling and abiding with the Lord Jesus, I have a sneaky suspicion that we'll always be happy to get here. So our relationship with the Lord Jesus is going to be evident, or if we're not where we need to be, the lack of it will also be evident. So I thought that was a great encouragement today, and so I praise the Lord for it. So y'all just keep walking in here like you want to. Amen. Revelation chapter 8 this morning. Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8. And honestly, you know, I've been preaching Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Now, last week we took a break on Sunday morning, but I've been preaching out of this book on Sunday night, Wednesday night. And very rarely do I do that. I normally just preach something different each week. What I mean by that, if I'm going through a book, I usually do that on Wednesday night or I'll do that on Sunday night. I really like doing my series through a book on Wednesday night, but with this, I don't want to spend a year in it, and so we're going to double up and do Sunday night, Wednesday night, and some on Sunday morning. But I had, church, my thought on this, like I told you this morning, you know, we're right in the, and by the way, there's a lot of judgment still coming. Of course, we're dealing with the tribulation period. But I just wanted a little break this morning to give out some good news. But I want you to notice tonight as we read this seventh seal being opened. Now, I want you to remember, chapter 7, we discovered a pause in God's judgment. Why? Because there was going to be 144,000 Jewish people sealed to serve during the tribulation period. There were great scores and multitudes of people saved, will be saved because of those 144,000 sealed servants, which will be Jewish. And the reason I keep saying that, because when you read chapter 7, we have these religious groups, and I'll just name the one, the Jehovah Witnesses believe that they are going to be the 144,000. But one of the problems with that is their numbers have already exceeded 144,000. But the Bible is very clear that this is not a religious sect. He is going to seal 144,000 Jewish people. So he was clear. So there's no confusion there. So someone comes up to you and say, oh, I hope I'm the 144,000. Well, let me help you with this. If you're saved, you won't be here. You're going to be in heaven in chapter 4, verse 1, when the Lord raptures the church. So from everything that we've been preaching from chapter 4 until now, the Christians are in heaven. We are viewing this in the throne room. And by the way, we're still in the throne room because you know that the one that was worthy came to take the seals out of God's hand to open them. There's only one worthy, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, and he's getting ready to open. Now this is for future events. He's getting ready to open the seventh seal. And when he opens the seventh seal, this seventh seal, and I'm going to read it, we're going to read it, is accompanied by seven trumpets. So as we read this, I want you to understand that when we're moving into chapter 8, we find that the pause in judgment is over, the scores of people have been saved, the 144,000 was sealed, and then we see this pause in judgment has ended as Jesus opens this seventh seal, which involves seven trumpets. And we're going to deal with the first four tonight. And then we're going to look, maybe on Sunday morning or Sunday night, or maybe Wednesday night, we're going to look at these next last three. But maybe if you'd like to, before we begin preaching on that on Wednesday, why don't you read through this chapter and be studying up on it and be reading and letting God help you so we'll know where we're going to be. Because I'm going to tell you something, when we get through these last three trumpets, very sobering. So let's look at these seventh seal judgments. Chapter 8, verse 1. The Bible says, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers. Now remember, we've mentioned this earlier, the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it unto the earth. Now I want you to remember in chapter number four, when we dealt with the throne room, he heard thunderings and he heard lightnings and earthquake. Now remember, this always signifies the judgment and the wrath of God. So in verse 5, we see what's getting ready to come. More. And the angel took a censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there were followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. Now I want you to think about that. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast in the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. Think of that. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters, and the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, which means bitter, undrinkable. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, and these three woes mean something. Woe, woe, woe. Read it now. To the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels which are yet to sound. So here's what he's saying. I'm going to talk about this in a minute. There's three more coming. Heavenly Father, I pray you'll help us tonight as we look into the future. And Lord, as we think about looking into the things that are going to come hereafter, it should motivate us to affect the present. Help us now, in Jesus' name, amen. If you were going to weaken something, if you were in an army, if you were of a country or some type of a people that were trying to maybe to attack something, make a plan to weaken. You know, here's an amazing thing. I'm going to share this with you. I don't know if people think like this, but, you know, I'm from a little town called Hinton, West Virginia. It's a very small town, rural West Virginia. But there's a very large dam there called the Bluestone Dam. And that dam keeps safe, and the way they allow and fluctuate the water there, really, there's, you know, hundreds of thousands of people's lives depend on the new river being leveled and keeping at a certain place. Because if not, there's going to be massive death downstream from that if something would happen to that dam. And so I'm going somewhere. So right after 9/11, Homeland Security has taken an interest in a dam like Bluestone in a little town called Hinton, West Virginia, and they're observing that dam, and now they're doing different things to that dam, and even there, not long after 9/11, after the attacks on America, you couldn't even get near that dam without Homeland Security federal agents tracking people down that they felt was anywhere near that dam that shouldn't have been near the dam. Now, I thought that's interesting. And the reason I say that is because they realize that people, when they want to weaken a country or weaken a nation, they're going to be able to do things. You think about in warfare, in the Civil War, it was very important that you kept your supply lines open, but they would go to great lengths to try to cut off a supply line to an army. You wouldn't have to defeat the army. You just take their food and water away, and you defeat the army. And I'm sitting here reading this, and I'm reading about the God of heaven that has devised a plan to completely weaken and judge a group of people, to completely weaken them in every facet of their life. These trumpet judgment, this seventh seal judgment that includes, now here's the way John is painting this picture. These trumpets, and every time that right before the trumpet is going to sound, or right when that trumpet is being sound, another judgment's coming. So right in the middle of the first one, he gives the blow of the trumpet, and immediately this takes place on earth while the Christians are in heaven. God's wrath and judgment is being poured out upon the inhabitants of the earth. And then before that one is even done, the next thing you know, you hear another trumpet. And when you hear that next trumpet, you know there's another judgment coming. And then the third time, another trumpet. So every time a trumpet is being sounded here, there's great judgment and wrath falling upon the inhabitants of the earth. That's during the tribulation period. These are called the seven trumpet judgments, concealed in the seventh seal. So the seventh seal that was opened here really has seven different wrath and judgments of God raining upon the inhabitants of the earth. So I say this one is the trumpets of desolation. As we read verse 7 through 12, we will find, we discovered that there were seven angels standing prepared to blow these trumpets. And as each trumpet was blown, another phase of judgment began. And we read it in great detail here. He gives a very vivid picture of what's taking place. And so we see this trumpet, this first trumpet is a trumpet of devastation. Look at verse 7. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass. Notice, not third part of the green, all green grass. So I want to ask a question. What's the livestock eat? What's the animals that roam, that depend upon the grass? I'm going to go a step farther. What about with the third part of green vegetation gone and no grass, what about the oxygen level on earth? Because we know that the green vegetation helps, what, create oxygen in the air. So there's great implications to this. This is a trumpet of devastation. But let me go farther, go here. The Bible says he uses the word hail and fire mingled with blood. Now that's interesting. Now I can't explain all of that, but I have a couple of things here. We understand that it's going to be a hailstorm like it's never been seen. And I'm going to be honest with you, I've never seen a hailstorm until I came here. I mean a good one. And I mean, we were down there, we went to go see Brother Tom McGuirk because he had gotten caught in that tornado. And we went down to the hospital to see him. Laura and I was trying to get back home, but of course, before we got home, you had to stop and eat. Amen? And so what did we do? We stopped down there to Chattanooga. I don't know why we went down there, but we went to the Chattanooga Choo Choo. We was eating at that. We never ate there before, but we was eating inside. And about that time, I mean, they made all of us get into the center of the building. And I mean, I have never in my life, if those things would have hit somebody, it would have killed them. And I took pictures of it. Those hail balls was that big. My truck was tore all to pieces with them. I mean, I had dings all over my truck from where that. Those. Could you imagine? The Bible says when this trumpet sounds, there's going to be a hailstorm like never been seen. It's not only just a hailstorm, but it's mingled with fire and blood. Now, I don't know why it might would mention blood here, although we know it's going to be, but brimstone is much of the, think about this, it's going to be a great hailstorm, mingled with blood and fire, and brimstone is much of the, and all of the brimstone is going to consume the vegetation. And then, this is what I wrote down, quite possibly the blood could be that of men and animals that died during the storm. I don't know. It may simply be contaminated water droplets that have the appearance of blood. But whatever, I believe it's actual blood. And I'm going to touch on that in a few minutes on why I think that's true. I don't know. And again, that's why you can read 20 different commentators on this. You're going to get probably 10 different thoughts on it. So it really doesn't matter. We just need to take the word of God. We know that this is going to be a hailstorm like never been seen. It's going to have fire. And it's going to have blood. And the Bible says it's going to consume the vegetation. And it's going to absolutely, and by the way, this was prophesied in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 38, verse 22. And I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. On whose people? The Antichrist people. So I want you to understand this. The hail alone is devastating, but one third of the trees and all the green grass were going to be burned up. Consider the effects of that on earth. As I mentioned a moment ago, oxygen levels. Think about food for livestock. Think about all of this. Think about trying to harvest a grain. You know, this is an amazing thing that will weaken the world. This trumpet of devastation. The famine and hunger of chapter 6 will only intensify. So we see the trumpet of devastation, verse 7. Look at the trumpet of destruction. Look at verse 8. The Bible says this, and the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. Again, I think that's interesting. Blood is mentioned in both of these trumpets. I think about this, and you know, I said this some, I think last week, a great tsunami. Can you imagine a tsunami that is going to be created when a whole mountain? And by the way, we understand the Bible says, or it says here, that when this second trumpet sounds, a great mountain burning with fire falls into the sea. It could very well mean a large asteroid. Can you imagine the ramification of that hitting the ocean? Could you imagine? Think of this. The Bible says, with one third of the marine life will die, and the ocean will be filled with blood, and it will have rotting flesh in it, seizing widespread contamination. And listen to me, I know this is true because I told you this a few weeks ago. My friend, Pastor Comer, in Lewisburg, West Virginia, went to India on a mission trip. It was about 8 months after that tsunami hit Indonesia and India. They had so much contamination. And even Brother Jonathan told me, he said, I knew better. But he said there were so many people getting saved, they wanted to follow the Lord in baptism. And by the way, let me just put this plea out there. This is different. This is a little off the track. But if you've been saved and you've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, you need to get baptized. Now, it's not to be saved, but you're identifying with the Lord Jesus. But he said, Brother Mark, there were so many people getting saved at these meetings that these hundreds of people were wanting to follow the Lord in baptism. And he said, I knew better, but he said, I got in the water and I baptized them. He came home with a parasite. He was very, very, very sick because he was in contaminated water. Now listen to me. This is going to be widespread. Death, contamination in the ocean because of so many animals dying. This is going to take away so many things. And the Bible says it's one third of all marine life will die. One third of the ocean's vessels are destroyed. Now, I want you to think about that around the world. I'm not just talking about it in America. One third of shipping vessels, fishing vessels, war vessels are going to be destroyed because of this one great catastrophic. So now you have the land, the vegetation, the trees destroyed. Now you have most of the marine life destroyed with two trumpets. The world's food supply will suffer great loss, and again, the famine and hunger will only worsen. On land, much of the trees and the grass have been devastated. Now much of the ocean is destroyed. Shipping lanes, fishing boats will be greatly hindered. The life that the ocean sustains through its many resources will be greatly reduced. The hunger and the economic effects of these two trumpets will be overwhelming. I want you to consider this. Consider that both of these trumpets involve blood. Here's my thought on it. These folks have rejected the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And by the way, can I say, Christ's blood is precious. It's the only way in which we can be saved. His blood was spotless. His blood is the payment for our sin. And so we see, consider both of these trumpets have blood. Why man has rejected the redemptive blood of Christ, and now God actually brings the blood of condemnation upon them with two trumpets. So we see the land, the vegetation, the trees are devastated. Now we see the marine life devastated. Look at this third one in verse 10. The Bible says in verse 10, and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven. So we know that's going to be a meteor. Burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters, and the name of the star is called Wormwood. Now this is interesting. So now you have all of the land visitation. One third around the world is destroyed. All the grass destroyed. All right, now you got to have food, and you got to have what? The basic needs of man is water and food. So now your fresh water is being destroyed. Bible calls it wormwood. That's going to be the name. By the way, that means bitter. He says that there a little bit later in that verse. But this is a trumpet of desperation. This star is called wormwood. The third trumpet brings a great star from heaven, falling upon the rivers and the fountains of fresh water, causing them to be poisoned, undrinkable. One third of the world's drinking water is contaminated, causing massive mass death. So now you got to have the basic needs of man. What is it? Really, shelter is not even a basic, but praise God we have shelter. But look at me. You know as well as I do, you got to have food and water. Now let's just get serious here. If you as a family and you're in a situation where there's four of you and you have two precious little children there, I'll tell you what mom and dads are going to do. They're going to go without to make sure their children eat and have water. It's going to cause people to make decisions that you never dreamed possible to make. But here's the one thing, you better make sure you make your decision. You don't want to be there. It's all, Pastor, you're stretching a little bit. No, you better start thinking about it, because I'm going to tell you right now, look at me. Humanity without God is wicked. I'm going to tell y'all something. You know when we had that storm here and we was out of power for about, I don't know, 6-7 days? I don't like cold showers, so praise God I didn't take a shower for like 4 or 5 days. You don't tell nobody. People kept saying, you can come over to my house. I said, nah, I'm just going to wait it out. Like 5 days later. And it was getting hot. You know, it was in the spring of the year, but it was getting hot that year. Y'all remember it? That's the same one that I watched come here with through that glass door. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah, thank you. And so anyway, I'm sitting there looking through the door. Here it comes. All right, well then, 5 days later, I still ain't got a shower. But I'll tell you what I was doing. It was so hot downstairs, it's cooler in our house. And it's even cooler if you open the door. But the only problem there is, you know, you open the door, you leave yourself open. But you know what I did? I'm just going to be honest with y'all. Just so nobody tries, I had my family down there in the basement. We was all sleeping on the floor. I left the door open, and I slept up against the door, and I had two guns right beside me. Yeah. And look at me. Both of them was loaded. One was a long gun. That's called a shotgun, pump action. And the other one was my .45 1911, and I get a witness right there. You say, why? Look at me. Because I know in times like that, people take advantage of things. When you have a mom and a dad that can't feed their children, these are desperate days. And God wants us to think about it, because He's put them in His Word to know this is what's coming to a lost world. And then, the next trumpet, here it comes. Could you imagine being John? Da-da-da-da, judgment. Da-da-da-da, judgment. Da-da-da-da, judgment. And you're like, whoa, it's got to stop by the time. Da-da-da-da. So by that time, John knew, here comes another one. Look at verse 12. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten. and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. When this fourth angel sounds this trumpet in heaven, the heavens will be dimmed. One third of the light given from the sun, the moon, and the stars will no longer shine upon the earth. Consider daylight being reduced by one third. Creating the longest night anyone's ever known. Do y'all know that, and I've not done a whole lot of study on this, I've done a little bit, but you know up in certain parts of the world, especially in Alaska up there in the north, there are long nights and daylights very, 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 very few. Do you know that that area up there is plagued with more depression than anywhere else in the world? Can you imagine the emotional effects of it always being dark? That song would take on a whole new meaning. And the sun's coming up in the morning. You know, that's one thing that I always appreciate. No matter what season it is, I know that sun's coming up. It might be a long night, but I know that sun is coming up. But they'll not be able to say that. So this is a trumpet of darkness. It will also be the darkest night with the moon and the stars affected. This will no doubt affect the emotional being of people. It's going to affect the climate. Talking about climate change. It will be real climate change. It won't be some pseudoscience stuff. The growing seasons, the temperatures, and the weather patterns will all be affected. And again, the emotional effect this will have are here on earth. They're going to be plunged in darkness. I wrote this down, Matthew 24:29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Matthew chapter 24. Man has never felt the wrath of God as he will during the tribulation. We've seen what the first trumpet will bring, these first four, but there are three more to come. And again, I ask you to read this in preparation for Wednesday night. So we see these trumpets of desolation. Then I want you to notice verse 13, before he announces the next fifth trumpet, you notice in verse 13, he gives kind of a testimony. He gives you this angel's telling you what to get ready for. And I want you to notice, John hears an angel in verse 13 proclaim, and here's what he's proclaiming. Whoa, 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 judgment's not over. Three more's coming. So this presentation of the testimony, the angel flies through the midst of heaven declaring a warning. And the warning is threefold, just simple, three words, the same word. Whoa, 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 signifying there's three more judgments coming under this seal. There are three woes yet to come, three trumpets yet remaining. These that have already sounded were bad, but things are only going to get worse with these next trumpets. To be quite honest with you, I don't think I'll name it this, but I could name when hell is loosed on earth. When hell, and now look at me, I'm not being ugly. You read chapter 9. We're literally going to see hell unleashed on earth. It's going to be opened up. So we see that it's worse to come. And then we notice the prediction of the testimony, verse 13, these woes were sounded for the inhabitants of the earth. Again, inhabitants of the earth. Now we've talked about this before, but these are the folks that have rejected God, they've rejected the gospel, they have lived their godless life, they've stuck their hand in the face of God and said, we don't want you, we don't need you. These are ones that have rejected the message even during the tribulation. They've rejected the message of the 144,000 sealed, these inhabitants of the earth. They believed in the systems and the root system of men. These are those who've rejected the call and the mercy of God, and they're left to face His divine judgment. There will be no escape for those who must face the judgment of the Lord. So listen, church, this is no Hollywood script. This is no fairy tale. This is going to take place. So as I close, all I'm going to say is this, and if you're listening online, and if you're in this building tonight, there's two things that you need to be concerned about right now. Number one, are you saved? That's all we need to be concerned about right now, because, I mean, there's nothing we can do. This is going to happen. As soon as I'm standing here, this is going to take place. We're not going to stop it. But we sure can help someone and make sure ourselves is not there. That's all we can do. So if I was listening to this message tonight and I was online and I didn't know for sure if I was saved, I'm going to tell you what I'd do. I wouldn't wait 3 seconds. I'd be getting on the phone right now and calling the church saying, somebody show me from the Bible how to be saved. I mean, I wouldn't wait. And if I was in this building, someone used to say, oh, you preachers just like scaring people. Look, I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm telling you, the tribulation is sure, and the judgment in that tribulation is sure. And if you're left behind, you're going to endure this tribulation. And there's not one enemy that I have. And when I say an enemy, that's someone that just doesn't believe like I believe. And maybe they've gotten a little nasty with me. I want you to know something. I'm sharing from my heart. I don't even want my enemies to be there. This gentleman that I've sparred with here often, a little bit here and there. Well, I ain't sparred with him much, but 2 years ago, he's got a false way to heaven, church. Listen to me. It's a false way. I'm not being ugly. I'm just telling you the truth. Anything other than Jesus, minus or add, is wrong. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't care how many articles he's wrote about me. I don't care how much he puts me on his Facebook page or their website or their church or what he says to me at the public school. Listen to me. I don't even want that man to go through this. It's no Hollywood script. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a movie. It's real. So right now tonight, my greatest thing is right here. I'm glad I'm saved. And I'm going to tell you right now, I know I'm saved, not because I deserve it, but I'm going to tell you right now, I've trusted Him. But if I didn't know, I praise God, that young lady, she waited no time at all, buddy. When I gave that invitation this morning, she knew what she heard. She said, you know what, I don't know for sure if I'm going to die and go to hell. She said, I want to make sure. And so the faith of a young person, boy, she raised her hand. She was as serious as all get out. The other day, and Brother Tom, I'm so glad you're here. I hope you don't mind me. But, you know, usually we let people get up front of the church, let people know. I'm just going to kind of put you on the spot. Tom got saved the other night. He trusted Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. I've never heard anyone say what he said to me. In 24 years of ministry, he's looked at me. He says, I've never understood anything any better. Makes perfect sense. I'm going to tell you right now, the gospel makes perfect sense when the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. I mean, that's a good deal. I'm an old sinner and I deserve hell. I deserve to be left here and be on this earth during the tribulation. But because my God loved me, even though I was a sinner, He did everything to redeem me. And He said, all you got to do is put your faith and trust in my plan, Mark. All you've got to do is accept, repent of your sin, and trust my Son as your salvation. Who in their right mind wouldn't do that? But tonight, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, I'd make sure tonight. And then I'll tell you something else that ought to motivate us. If we know someone that we love, we ought to also, as we're praying for our country, as we're praying for this election, we ought to be fasting and praying that God would speak to our loved one's heart, because we don't want them to be left behind. Time to get serious, church. Time to get serious. Y'all ever heard that old saying, put your money where your mouth is? Well, it's time for us to put our money where our mouth is. Let's get to praying. Let's get to fasting. And let's get to being absolutely serious about this thing. Be witnessing to people. These track racks ought to be empty. And we ought to get serious and burdened about the lost around us, our coworkers, our family, our friends. And by the way, they might say, well, here he comes again. Well, that's not really a bad thing. If you come and all you want to do is witness to them, well, there could be a whole lot of other things that they could say. Well, here he comes again. But if they say that to you, then at least let it be because you're aggravating them with the gospel. How many of y'all like a certain football team? Everybody likes a certain football team. Don't somebody just get on your nerves, though, if they're just always bashing your football team? I mean, don't they just, well, here it comes. I mean, you know, we know people like that. They're going to run their mouth. I mean, and they don't know. They don't have a clue. They've read something or they've seen something. You know, and I, by the way, I've been around people like that. You know, I'm like, oh, my, here they come. They're going to throw a big bomb in here, man. Everybody's been happy. But all of a sudden, this thing's going to get real. You know what I'm talking about? There's people like that, man. They love stirring that stuff up. And let me just tell you, it's a game. It's a game. I mean, look here. Nobody on that Alabama Crimson team knows me. Somebody say, man. I don't know any. And by the way, I was a little disappointed the other day in the head coach down there in Tuscaloosa, what he did. I'm just being honest with you. So, I mean, come on. Let's just put it where it's at. But I get that. Oh, my, here he comes. He's going to brag on his team. Well, here's what would be a real good testimony. Well, here he comes. He's going to brag on his Savior. That'd be pretty good. Oh, my, here he comes. Here comes that Christian. He's going to brag on Jesus. I mean, that's really a compliment, church. But we're scared to death of it. So God help us. Let's put our money where our mouth is. Let's get serious. Judgment's coming. Tribulation's coming. We don't want anybody left to be left behind. If you're here tonight, you don't know the Lord, please don't leave. If you're online, you don't know Christ, call. Let's stand to our feet. On Wednesday night, we'll plan on looking at these last three trumpets. Let's be honest tonight. How many of you are glad that you're saved? Amen. Thank God he loved us enough to save us. Have you just thanked him today? Won't you just thank him right now? And then let me ask this. How many of you have a loved one, a friend, a co-worker, and you're concerned about them? You don't know if they're saved? Let's get serious about it, church. Look, this altar's open. Why don't we just come down? Nobody else has to hear the name. But why don't you come and call? Just ask God to move in their hearts. Would you? Somebody on your heart? Think they're impossible with God? They're not. Not impossible, nothing, no one's impossible for God. Is anybody too hard for the Lord? No. But let's go to the Lord and ask him. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I told someone the other day as I was meeting with him, I said, look, there's a lot of things I'm helpless about. I can't change people. But I praise God I know the one who can. Are we bombarding the throne with their names? Are we being burdened? Asking the Lord to move in their hearts. You know, I told this young lady, her name's Amy. Amy. Amy brought this girl to church today with her. She rides on our bus. Amy, little, how old is she? About 14. Amy, she's been coming now for what, a couple years? She's one of these rambunctious ones. But you know what? She brought a friend today. And you know what? She got saved. Amen. That's powerful, isn't it? Then you know what I did? I said, well, when's the last time I brought somebody to church? She brought a friend to church. She got saved. That's a powerful thing, isn't it? We don't want anybody to be left behind. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and grace. Lord, again, we so much thank you for the gospel. While we were yet sinners, you died for us. That's amazing to me. But Lord, we know that in the tribulation period, judgment and wrath is going to come like this world has never seen. Lord, I pray you'll help us to get serious about it, get motivated to realize that we don't even want our worst enemies to be left. So while there's a time of grace, a time of salvation, I pray you'll help us to get serious and busy about it. Help us to be a walking, talking billboard for you. Help us to be a walking, talking track, helping people realize that we have the answer for life, and that's you. We have the answer for salvation, and that's you. Help us to be bragging on you daily. We'll thank you for what you do, for we ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people say it. God bless you. Have a great night. Have a great week.